today on Living on Every Word.
In the darkest hour, in the hardest moments of your life, Jesus always shows up. He always shows up. He's always coming to reveal himself to you in the difficult time, in the uncertain future. Difficult days come, difficult days go. And yet God comes to say, I will show up.
We all face difficult days. It's a part of life. Yet the good news is we don't have to face them alone. Today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares with us what Jesus has to offer us as we face life's struggles. In today's message, Facing Difficult Days.
Living on Every Word.
Turn to John chapter 20, if you would. John chapter 20. Want to just kind of share with you some principles from this scripture about disciples having a hard time. Have you ever had a hard time? Some of you are having a hard time now. You know, maybe a financial difficulty, maybe you've lost someone dear to you, maybe you've struggled with some kind of problem in your life and it just seems to overcome you, it seems to not stop, and you know, you're in that situation or you're in that moment and you're just struggling. And, you know, I know that these are hard times in these years. And the older we get, it doesn't get easier. There are persecutions. There are problems. There are struggles in this life. And the question is not so much how we respond. Yeah, we're supposed to respond. But I want to talk to you a little bit about how Jesus responds to you in difficult times. And when I look at this passage of Scripture, I see disciples who are really, really struggling. I mean, they've given their lives to Jesus Christ. They've given 3 years, and they believe that this Christ is indeed who he says he is, but they've got different ideas about how he's going to accomplish that. And even though Jesus was warning them, they just never dreamed that he would hang on a cross. I mean, this is the Messiah, for goodness sake. This is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And we're under this Roman rule, and we're under the hand of this government, and we need this Messiah to come in on the white horse and deliver us from these problems and deliver us from these struggles and deliver us from these people. And so they've got these expectations. And, you know, there are certain expectations in the Christian life. Is there not? Yes. There are certain expectations in the Christian life. And they have some expectations. But when Jesus dies, they're scattering. And they find themselves in this upper room. And they're scared. They're scared for their lives. They're scared for their future because they see that this future is uncertain. And they're gathered together and they are just scared. They are frightened. There's fear, there's worry, there's struggle. And the scripture says in verse 19, so when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he said this, he showed them both his hands and his side, and the disciples then rejoiced when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Now look at this passage of Scripture and the circumstances that are dire in these disciples' lives. I see one principle here after another. And the first principle is this: Jesus always shows up. He always shows up. He's always, always coming to your aid. Always coming to reveal himself to you in the difficult time, in the uncertain future. He is always available. Now, that doesn't mean that I think that God is somewhere over that and he's waiting for us to go through struggles and then he shows up. No, I believe with all my heart in the omnipresence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is there all the time. It's just we realized in a moment, hey, he is here, right? He is here. And that's what I mean about showing up. I'm not talking about God's over here dealing with somebody else's pain. He's always aware, always knowing. But he comes and he shows up. In the darkest hour, in the biggest, hardest moments of your life, he shows up. and you get to experience that presence, and you get to experience that life, and you get to experience all that God has for you in those moments, in the midst of this uncertainty, in the midst of this just disappointment. Because I'm going to tell you, they are disappointed. You've been disappointed? Yes, we've all been disappointed, and we'll be disappointed again. You'll be disappointed again in your spouse. You'll be disappointed again in God, seemingly. You will be disappointed again on the way circumstances come your way. But we do not stay there. We move on to what God has for us while He is forming us and conforming us into His image. Difficult days come, difficult days go. And yet God comes to say, I will show up. And not only does He show up, but guess what He shows up with? The Bible says in verse 21, so that Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. Actually, He said it the first time in verse 19, peace be with you. He'll say it again in verse 21, and then He'll say it again. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. He comes with His peace. John 16:33 says that these things I've spoken to you so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. Great promise, isn't it? A great promise. In the world I'm going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. What? We're struggling right now. Be of good cheer? Yeah, be of good cheer because guess what? I've overcome the world. And you're a part of that overcoming. You're a part of that movement of God, that movement of the Lord, that movement of the Spirit of God that brings peace into the world, that also brings peace into people's lives. And you know, these guys, they're going to go from this place, and yes, they're going to be filled with the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit's going to come upon them. But I'll tell you, they're going to have some great purposes, as we're going to see in just a moment. God comes and He brings peace on your life. Now, what does that peace look like? Well, go to Romans, if you would, for just a moment. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I want you to notice what peace does. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we've obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we are standing, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Verse 3, and not only this, we exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God is being poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. The very thought of having peace with God means that once we were at enmity with God, that we were separated from Him and we did not have peace and we did not have the peace of God in our lives. But in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ died on the cross to make peace with you, or for you to make peace through Him with our great God. Separated from God, and then God coming along and sending His Son to die for you, and then for Him to bring you together in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of God. You have peace with God. If you were justified by faith, if you believe the promise of God that 2,000 years ago He died on that cross, and you have placed your faith in that, the Bible says that you've been justified. And that's a legal term. That simply means that God has declared you right and righteous with Him. Because that is a great thought. But listen, it's just not this unknown sense or some unknown doctrine about what peace is. No, there's a peace that is supposed to flood your life and flood our hearts all the time. Why? Because Jesus is always with you and He is the Prince of Peace. Do you have peace today? Even in hard circumstances, do you have peace? You know, I want you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, when the Apostle Paul was met by God on the road to Damascus, he did not have peace with God. The law did not bring peace with God. And he was a follower of the law. He didn't know what grace was. And the Bible says in Acts that Paul was on his way to persecute and to throw Christians in prison. I mean, in one of his testimonies, he says, I thought that it was my job and my duty to make sure that the Christian church did not prosper. Now, he didn't say it just like that. I'm paraphrasing. But that's what he thought. And he said, therefore, I thought it to myself that I had to do very many things hostile to the name of Christ. And so he is going to a place to do hostile things to Christians. That's where he's going when God meets him. Do you think he has peace with God? No, he does not have peace with God. Not until Jesus Christ meets him on the road. And when Jesus Christ meets him on the road and he believes and he begins to follow Christ, guess what? The persecutor becomes the persecuted. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he speaks of these persecutions. And notice what he says in verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. 1 night and 1 day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, from robbers, from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I'm exhausted reading it, much less participating in this. I've been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from such external things, there's the daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without me being weak? In other words, I have this physical struggle, but I've got this emotional, spiritual struggle within me that says when you're weak, I'm feeling the same weakness. When you're struggling, I'm feeling the same struggle. And if you're led into sin, he says, who is led into sin without my intense concern? So when you're weak and when you're struggling, he says, I'm concerned. I'm struggling with it. And then when you're being led into sin, oh my word, I'm so, so concerned about it. This man went through a whole lot. And we all go through a whole lot. And we all suffer loss and we all stub our toe. We all find brokenness in our hearts and our lives. We all face disappointment. We all do. And I look at this man, Paul, and you know what he says about his life? He says it in Philippians 4:11, and I want you to look at the screen for a moment. He says, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Beaten with 39 lashes. Not once, not twice, but 5 times. And he's content? Stoned with rocks? And he's content? Dangers on his way to preach the gospel, to proclaim it. And then the concerns. And the promise is, you can be content. Why? Because I guarantee you, every one of those beatings, and every one of those rock throwing, and every one of those dangers, and every night he was in cold and exposure, every day that he went without food, guess what? Jesus was showing up. And he was bringing peace with him. He was bringing peace with him. And you can look at how he instructs the churches over and over and over how to face trial and how to face struggle and how to stay in prayer and how to rejoice in suffering and how to walk like Christ walked in his sufferings on this life. Over and over and over. I mean, it is just laced with scripture. You talk about the doctrine of grace in Romans. Well, listen, there's doctrines of peace and life in the presence of God laced through this as he teaches us to respond to the things that are going on around us that make us uncomfortable, make us uncertain, make us doubt. Jesus Christ shows up. And he brings his peace with you. But you know, if you go back to John chapter 20, you know what else he brings? He brings purpose. Jesus will bring purpose to the disciples. I mean, there's only one disciple that really stayed with Jesus all the way through the end. That's John. The rest of them have failed. They've scattered like sheep. Peter has denied him 3 times. They're walking in fear. They're walking in worry. And when I think about just failing and messing up, I just say, is there really a purpose for my life? But I want you to notice what he says to him. Back to chapter 20. He shows up, he brings his peace, and then he brings purpose. Notice what he says. Verse 21, so Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. Wow. You want to talk about purpose? The purpose of God. Wait a minute. We're reeling with fear and worry and anxiety. We're reeling with failure and guilt here. And you're telling us that you're going to give us purpose just as the Father God sent you. You are sending us? How can that be? And how can a person who's walked through failure and has walked through the things that he's walked through still have purpose in the kingdom of God? It is called grace, and it is called mercy, and it is called the purpose and the life of God for you and for me. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. You are being sent to your jobs, to your communities, to your neighborhoods, your city block. Wherever you live, you are being sent to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in His kingdom. And I want to ask you, church, is your light shining today? We say, well, wait, I've got too much going on in my life. I've got this struggle after struggle. You know, James said that when you fall into various trials, well, listen, there are various trials on my life, in my heart right now, and you are telling me that I got to walk from this place with all these trials with a sense of purpose on my life. Yes, I am. You have purpose. You'll be sent to your school this week. You'll be sent to the places that you work. You are sent, a sent people, to share and to shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will give you purpose. In trying circumstances and the struggle of life and all that we go through, the presence of Christ shows up. He brings peace, and then He brings the purpose of God in your life. And then the fourth thing that He does, He gives you power to do it. Notice. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Look at the next verse. And if you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Now, I don't understand a whole lot about that, but I just know one thing. I know one thing about forgiveness. We're all called to do it. Okay? And if I don't walk in forgiveness, I'm going to find myself in trouble. I think that is a very significant verse of Scripture. I'm going to send you, receive the Holy Spirit, and guess what? This shine in your light really is about forgiveness, is it not? It's about our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who forgave you and me. And if I'm going to shine my light, that's one of the things that I need to shine brightest about. You know that the Bible says that love does not take into account a wrong suffered, that love is not provoked. It means that you love me or I love you enough to say, I will not be provoked. I will not take into account a wrong suffered. Now, there's a problem, though. And the problem is in the very next verse. I mean, he's showed up. He's brought his peace. He's brought purpose. And he's going to give power because the Bible says that, yes, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. You will have this power, the power of God, to do what I'm calling you to do to fulfill the purpose that I have for you. And that's to send you. And the problem, or one of the problems is, and in verse 24, the Bible says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, or called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And so the other disciples were saying to him, we've seen the Lord. And he said to them, unless I see in his hand the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. I got to see. I got to touch. I got to sense. Because if I don't see it and I can't touch it, then you know what? It must not be real. That's what he's saying. And I want to ask you, is that what you need to believe? Do you need all your ducks in a row to believe that God's on His throne and in your life and loves you? Because there's some people who say, you know, I can't come to Christ until I do this, 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 and this. Well, guess what? You will never come to Christ. He wants you just as you are. No, I just can't walk this way. I can't talk this way. I can't be this because I just don't see it. I just don't hear it. I can't touch it. And besides, the things that I do touch and see, I just get disappointed about them anyway. So I'm just going to, I can't believe unless I see. And Thomas says this. No, I've got to take my hands, I've got to put them into his hands, and I've got to put my hands into his feet, and I've got to put my hand right smack dab in his side. And then I'll believe. You know, if that's the case, most don't believe. They don't. I know of people who have seen many wonderful and fantastic things about God and the things of God, and I've seen God line up their lives just so consistently. I've seen them forgiven. I've seen them come to the altar. I've seen them pour out their heart and come away going, whew, I'm free. And then yet turn away from it, needing to see something else. You know, I think it's just so important. Jesus is hearing this. I just want you to know he's hearing this, right? Because the Bible says that he's going to show up for Thomas. And what I love about what Jesus does for Thomas is he says, look at verse 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came to the doors, having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Reach here with your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Because you've seen me, you're believing? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. There's something so great about the Spirit's work in our lives, is it not? That causes a faith to be birthed within our lives to believe the very impossible promises of God. But that's what God does for you. That's what God does for us. He bursts within the faith so that when I get to this place that is hard, when I get to this place that I'm struggling, when I get to this place that I don't know what I'm supposed to do next, I know that the Lord Jesus Christ will show up in my life. He will bring peace. He will bring purpose. He will bring power. And let me tell you this, he will do what is necessary in your life and my life to believe. You know, I was jotting down a few things in my journal last night, and you know, there's difficult times that we all have, and one of the things that I was just asking God was, "God, I just want to hear you." How many of you want to hear God, right? I want to hear you. And I jot down some things, and it's straight from the Word. It's straight from Scripture. We always go to the Scripture to hear what God's saying. Let me just share. And please, in the context of, don't be unbelieving. Be believing. And it's just entitled, "Will You?" Will you be confident that I who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus? Will you believe that your love will abound more and more? Will you approve the things that are excellence? Will you walk in this life being sincere and blameless, being filled with the fruit of righteousness? Will you believe that your circumstances will turn out for the greater good of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you rejoice? Will you be convinced of your deliverance? Will you live for Christ, and will you gain in death? Will you believe that remaining on in life will be fruitful labor for you? Will you conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel? Will you do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit? Will you look out for the interest of others? Will you have the attitude of Christ? Will you humble yourself before me? Will you work out your salvation with fear and trembling? Will you believe that it's God who's at work in you to do his good pleasure? Will you do all things without grumbling, disputing? Will you prove yourself to be blameless and innocent children of God above reproach? Will you hold fast the word of life? Will you seek after the interest of Christ? Will you count all things as loss for the sake of Christ? Will you count them rubbish that you may gain Christ? Will you suffer the loss of all things that you may gain the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you come to know me in the power of my resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to this death? Will you forget what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead? Will you rejoice in the Lord always and know that he is near? Will you be anxious for nothing? Will you let your requests be made known to God? Will you allow the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart? Will you think on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and good repute, excellent, those things worthy of praise? Will you be content in whatever circumstances you find yourself? Will you know how to get along in humble means as well as how to live in prosperity? Will you do all things through Christ who strengthens you? Will you believe that God will supply all your needs in Christ Jesus? Will you confess that Jesus is Lord in every circumstance, every good word, every bad word, every good report, every bad report? Will you confess Him when it's so uncertain, so unreal, so unbelieving, so impossible? Will you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God? Will you believe that I will keep you in perfect peace? Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Jesus always shows up. Jesus brings His peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus always gives purpose. There's purpose in your life this day. And you can live that purpose out by bringing peace to people, letting your light shine. You have this purpose and you have this power. If the Spirit of the living God is in your life, you have this power in your life to face any difficulty, any stronghold, anything the enemy throws your way, and anything that you've done yourself to bring the mess on yourself. He gives you what you need. He gives you all you need. And the question that I'm asking today of my own life and in my own situations, in my own thinkings is, Mike, will you stop unbelieving and will you believe? I like the way he says it. Will you be believing? Will you be believing? Will you be found believing? God, I want to be found believing. Yeah, I want to be found in the good days, which are so much more than the bad days. Because we're such a blessed people. Blessed. God has blessed you. And yes, there's circumstances that are trying. But have you ever noticed how God blesses you even in trying circumstances? Difficult days. He blesses. He moves. Put your hand in my side. Put your fingers here in my scars. And do not be unbelieving, but be believing. Talk about the greatness of Jesus, the greatness of Christ, who will come to you in whatever need you have this day. Every one of us have not lived a stress-free life. And there are things in our lives that we're struggling with. And I just want to say this, thank you for the struggle. Lord, I want to thank you for it. I want to be like Paul that rejoices in tribulation, that boasts in his weaknesses, that depends on the grace and mercy of God. I want to thank you for our need today. That need is only found in you. And I pray, God, that we would live this with all of our being and all of our lives. Oh, God, what could you do today? And I just pray, Lord, show up. Bring your peace. We receive it today. And God, we know there's purpose. And we know there's power. So come, Lord, come. And Father, when that happens, may we unlock the doors and not be in fear of anything, but that we walk in the confidence of our great God today. I praise you for it. Lord, you fulfilled the prophecy in the disciples' lives when you said, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And they were dispersed and they brought the gospel to the regions beyond. I pray, God, that would be our hope, our task, with the gospel in our heart to bring it to wherever we're sent. Good news, great news, in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For
more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on